are now listening to the Fantasy Football Guys podcast. You can check them out on the web at www.fantasyfootballguys.com.
It's like it gets worse and worse as the season goes on.
The Fantasy Football Guys, Lyle Ponkiel and Kevin Moore.
That might be the second or last time people hear this open.
Might be. We might do another one. Talking about it.
Get some new music and another voice.
No, it's going to be hard to let go of Let's Ride.
Maybe we just keep this music, get the other voice.
I think so.
Maybe.
Because Jessica sucks.
Wow. I love Jessica.
Yeah. You don't have to live with her, pal.
Fair enough. We are the Fantasy Football Guys. Kevin.
Lyle.
Who is hoping to God his wife doesn't listen to the show. And we are netcasting live on livestream.com/TFFG. We are on the internet at thefantasyfootballguys.com. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/thefantasyfootballguys, twitter.com/TFFG, and youtube.com/thefgees.
Wow.
How's it
well
about
done.
That?
That was well
you.
Done.
Thank you very much. This is the second to last show of the season. Actually, yeah, it is, isn't it?
The second to last one, yeah.
No, because we have this week, next week, and then,
the post-Super Bowl show.
Right,
yeah,
so we have so. Three
That's
more.
Right, I said Super Bowl.
Right, the big game, whatever.
I was watching ESPN, and on the bottom, you know how it does a ticker tape?
Yeah.
And it said Pro Football Championship, Green Bay versus Seattle. And like for a second, I saw Pro Football Championship and I looked up. I was like, wait, what's that?
Wonder which league that might
be. I was like, what are we talking about here? And then I was like, oh, son of a bitch. Say Super Bowl. Just say it.
They have a contract with the NFL.
I know. Why can't they say it?
I don't know.
Stupid.
Super Bowl.
Yeah. Sue us.
Yeah. You can take, I don't know, this pencil, this desk,
the board,
something, you know, whatever. What are we going to talk about? We have some things coming up. Liz Losa, the fantasy football girl, will not be joining us tonight. She's on vacation.
Yeah.
So good for her. But you know what, Lyle?
Yeah.
Brace yourself. DraftKings.com is delivering a haymaker to the world of fantasy sports.
No. Introducing daily fantasy MMA at DraftKings.com.
What?
Daily.
DraftKings is America's favorite daily sports site. Where you could win enormous cash prizes every time you play.
It's easy. Just pick five fighters, stay under the salary cap, and you can be on your way to a serious payday.
Score points for significant strikes, advances, takedowns, reversals, and sweeps, and knockdowns, of course.
Gain bonus points based on which round your fighters end their bouts.
These are the biggest daily fantasy contests for mixed martial arts ever, and they're only at DraftKings.
Right. Don't miss out. DraftKings.com awarded over $300 million last year. How much will you win?
Hurry to DraftKings.com and use promo code GUYS to play fantasy daily fantasy MMA for free this weekend during UFC 183.
You could win your slice of $1 billion in prizes being awarded this year.
Enter GUYS, G-U-Y-S, to play for free now at DraftKings.com.
DraftKings.com.
That's DraftKings.com.
You know, amazingly enough, we have not seriously botched any one of these live reads this year.
Yeah, the cool thing about that is we've never seen that copy before.
Never. We did. That was the first time we ever read it.
Got it off the email, just cut it up, never read that before.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive for two guys who don't actually do this for a living.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Anyway, I say we start with this.
Yeah, a guy who listens to us and on the yearly basis,
yeah,
he sends us a...
sends us jellies.
Sends us some jellies.
Through the mail.
Through the mail. And this is a bottle of that jelly right here.
Big shout out to him.
This is an IPA, which Lyle and I both
thoroughly
have
enjoy.
Grand affinity for.
It is called the Maharaja from Avery Brewing Company. It's the Dictator series.
Nice.
And it's kind of a neat little, you know, play on... I don't know, brand
India
or something.
India Pale Ale, it's the Maharaja.
Ooh.
Yeah?
That's hoppy.
Is it smelly?
Might as well call it Bugs Bunny, pal.
Ooh, that just jumps right out of the bottle,
uh-huh.
Doesn't it?
All right, give me a pour.
Give me a tilt.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. So, while Kevin's pouring my beer, we might as well get into it. There's a lot of news I want to talk about. There's actually some things that I think are quite interesting. But the most interesting thing, of course, is Deflategate. Got to talk about it, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts because I've been brewing all friggin' week, watching all the coverage, hating all the coverage, hating everybody's stupid face, and would really love to know where you stand on it. But I'm going to throw my views out there real quick, Kevin, if you don't mind.
You want to say yours first, and then I'll give mine?
Should we do it on three? Yeah, dude, whatever.
Go ahead. You go.
So, for those of you who've been living under a rock, I guess we should recap it a little bit. Not watch TV. The bottom line is the NFL found yesterday that 11 of the 12 footballs, they announced this yesterday. Today we're doing this on Friday.
11 of the 12 first half footballs.
First half footballs, yeah. Right? Or was it second half?
I don't know.
I think it was second half, right? Anyway, 11 of the 12 footballs that were being used, that they were, you know, suspected of being underinflated, were, actually. So they checked 12, 11 of them were.
One thing we haven't heard is, to what degree were they underinflated? Were they all consistently underinflated?
I heard something that it was like they were all pretty close and it was like 2 pounds.
So they were like 10 and a half pounds.
Something like that. But I don't know that that's true.
If they were all different, if they were varying PSI.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you, Kevin.
If they were all the same, I'm going to call shenanigans.
It doesn't matter if they're shenanigans or not, number one. Number two, more importantly, there's no way to discern that by just, this is very, very good, by the way, by just the pounds inside the ball, the PSI inside the ball. Because if somebody was doing this by accident, they might have accidentally filled them all up to the same thing. Their gauge could have been off. Like, there could be a lot of things that happened here.
You know what it tells me? That there's one that was just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the referee tested one ball?
Yeah. So, and that might be the case too. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Okay. Everybody's getting caught up in, are they cheaters? Are they not cheaters? So let's address that very quickly. Yes, they're cheaters. So is every other NFL team. They do everything they can to win football games. It sucks. Nobody will admit it, but they do it. That's why we have things like bounties. That's why we have things like the camera thing that happened with the Patriots a while ago, which, by the way, every other NFL team was doing.
Allegedly.
Sure. They're all doing it, dude. They probably have people in the stands reading signs.
If everybody else was jumping off the top of the stadium, would you too, Lyle?
If it meant $1 billion, yeah. So anyway... So let's
you
just
told me what you would do for money.
I'd go gay for pay. There's no question about it. You guys are just being uptight and homophobic if you wouldn't do it. And I mean that literally and figuratively. Anyway, the uptight part.
Didn't quite get that initially.
Sorry. I'm going a little quick. So yes, they're absolutely cheating. They're going to do everything they can, just like, you know, performance enhancing drugs, right? You're going to say that's cheating. The important thing to note about this cheat with the footballs, if we'll call it that, right, and performance enhancing drugs, they kind of fall in the same category for me. And here's why. Performance enhancing, I could take steroids all day. I'm not going to be a linebacker, right? You have to work really, really hard to get a benefit from steroids. You have to work out all the time.
Yes, you do.
You know, you can't just take steroids and all of a sudden hit 70 home runs. So you have to be a world-class athlete anyway. Then you also have to bust your butt. Okay, so it's not a cheat code. It's an acceleration of what's, and maybe you can go beyond what's physically possible. Same thing with the balls. It's not an automatic win. It's a we might have a slight advantage kind of thing, which I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that NFL teams and NFL players aren't doing everything they can to have a slight advantage, you are crazy. Performance enhancing drugs are banned. Guess what's not banned? Every other vitamin in the world, which they all take. Their diets are impeccable. Their exercise programs are studied they probably teach them at university.
Chip Kelly tells his players what time to go to bed, and they do.
Dude, it's a freaking science. So one is against the rules, one is not against the rules. But believe you me, they do everything they can to get an advantage, which I don't hate them for. This is where it starts to really piss me off. The integrity of the game is in question right now, and it should be. But
not for just this.
But they're right. They're not going to highlight the bigger issue, which is there's so much money in this, we will do anything we can. That's why at the bottom of a pile, there's punching, there's ball pulling, there's pinching, there's scratching, anything they can do. The rules go out the window.
Yeah, if the refs can't see it, it doesn't happen.
Right. So I don't care. My point is, I don't care if it was an accident or not, because I know that they will do whatever they can do to win a game. I don't care if it was an accident. What I care about is that they were in charge of footballs that were supposed to be ex-PSI, and they weren't, which means they violated the rules, which means they should be punished. Don't care if it was intentional or not. Hey, I accidentally shot someone. Am I just absolved? No.
Right.
No. So they're guilty. There's no question they're guilty. because the NFL said, hey, we found this. And I think they should be hit hard. I think that they should be, I think the cap should be lowered a little bit, and I think that maybe they should lose a draft pick or something. I think you set an example here. I don't think it'll happen, but that's how you hurt them. If you find them, it's nothing.
Yeah, money to, you know, it's like a $50,000 fine. Kraft just, you know, here, I got that in my pocket.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Whatever.
It's nothing. I mean, freaking Marshawn Lynch is doesn't even care about a $50,000 fine. So why should the New England Patriots, who are one of the most profitable, you know, sports franchises in the world?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's my take. Take it away, Kevin.
my take is similar. You know, my thing is, you know, I'm not sure they should be fined cash. But I think it goes deeper than this. I think if this was the Seahawks that had been caught doing this, the ball's underinflated, the argument would be different. But the fact that the Patriots had been caught cheating before,
mm-hmm.
They have no benefit of the doubt at this point.
They don't, and that's a shame because it may have not been intentional. It's possible. That's all I'm saying. We don't know yet.
It's possible. And, like, you know, a couple of people said if Brady had gone up there at his press conference and said, you know what, this is me. I just like a ball that's, you know, a little bit easier to grip. I'm willing to give up 15 yards on my long ball to get that. I screwed up. It's on me. It won't happen again. I apologize. It would have been over.
So you think it was him?
Yeah. Well, that's just it. I mean, and if you listen to what players are saying, the coach has nothing to do with it. This whole thing is between... No, does he know that it's happening?
No. I completely agree with you. I think it's insane to think that Belichick does not have better things to do than to check the PSIs of the footballs.
Right. It's between a quarterback and the equipment manager.
Dude, that guy is so far down the wrong, he probably doesn't even speak to Belichick.
Belichick probably doesn't know who the guy is.
Right.
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 So maybe he knows who the equipment manager is, but the dude is handling the footballs, he has no idea. You know, maybe he sees him in the hall and is like, I wonder who that guy with the big ears is. Who knows, right?
Right.
So, but Tom Brady knows who it is because that's a guy who scuffs his footballs for him. I was going to say scuffs his balls for him. That would have been funny.
You should have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a process to get the balls ready for the way Tom likes them.
Sure.
And in some cases, that's probably deflating them a little.
Yep.
So, and probably in every case.
Yep.
But in this case, somebody noticed that the ball was a little squishier than usual, and they got called out on it. So... It's so, not Belichick's deal. It's Brady's deal. And if Brady had come out and said, you know what? My bad.
Yeah, I agree. But it would tarnish him, and there's no way he's going to do that.
I would rather... It's going to come out anyway, and everybody knows it. So, everybody knows that it's him.
So that's the flip side to my coin. Now, if it does come out after this reaction, if it does come out that this was intentionally done...
You need a new cord, bro.
Yeah, it's pretty frayed.
Yeah.
It's all right. I'm going to get a new one.
At the vending machine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At work, they have an Apple vending machine. You just walk up and scan your badge, and you can pick whatever's in there. They got laptops and stuff in there. It builds your cost center. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
Want.
If they find that this is intentionally done, and they go, hey, this has been happening for a while and stuff like that, then you have a whole nother ball game. First of all, let me just state that no matter what happens at the end of this, it won't address the issue. They're going to react to footballs being underinflated. They're going to have a whole new inspection process, and they'll analyze every freaking ball all the time, but they're not addressing the issue of, hey, I'll do anything I can to win a football game, right? Even if it's, you know, unscrupulous. But if they do find that the actual cheating was involved, that they were saying, look, we think this gives us an advantage, or I want this because I can throw the ball better, you know, I'm Tom Brady, they have to act very swiftly, and it has massive implications because think of all the money that was wagered, not only that game, which was a blowout, but not only that game, but all the other games.
Yeah,
I mean, you got people that are going to look,
Ravens,
they're going to look at the NFL and go, can we freaking bet on this anymore? Is it rigged? Like, all right, which team's cheating better? You know, it crushes the integrity of the game. It really, really does.
It kind of does, but you know what? People bet on NASCAR, and it's the same deal. Those guys are, you know, cheating.
So all crazy. Sports is.
Right.
Right.
Baseball, you know, yeah. So guys got, you know, little piece of sandpaper in
the sock,
there's whatever.
Too much money. There's too much money involved. So, you know, and you really can't blame them, especially the individuals who, I mean, listen, you talk about baseball, like, you know, a 10-win versus a 15-win season is a ton of money for a pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that little bit.
Hitting 250, hitting 300,
right,
a ton of money.
Ton of money. So you can't, you really can't blame him.
Years ago, I read a story about a catcher who was in AAA, and he was like 32 years old playing AAA baseball. Never been to the majors for more than a cup of coffee, right?
Right.
And he was staunchly against performance-enhancing drugs, steroids, okay?
Right.
He knew that if he started juicing, he could be in the bigs for six more years.
Right.
As a catcher.
Because
mm-hmm. his knees were still good. He could hit. He was hitting like, you know, 240.
Right.
You know? And you know, if you, all you had to do was add, as a catcher, 50 more points.
Oh, you're an all-star.
Yeah. As a catcher, 290, you're in the bigs.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, you're not only in the bigs, you're probably an all-star.
Right. So just like Kevin Costner said in the movie Bull Durham.
Bull Durham.
One hit a week is 50 points.
Right.
On a batting average.
Right.
So you don't think steroids will give you one more hit a week?
I do think it will.
A grounder with eyes. A, you know, whatever he called it. He right. gave it a list of them. But one hit a week and you're playing in the Yankee Stadium.
Right.
He refused to do those drugs, though. He said, you know what? I'm a natural baseball player. I've always been natural. I think it's cheating to do otherwise, and it's costing me huge amounts of money and a pro career. But
yeah, and you know, so you have to ask yourself. And by the way, nobody knows that game that guy's name unless you read that article.
Yeah.
But you have to ask yourself, what would you do in that position if you had a shot at greatness? What do you do? Like, what do you yourself do? Not just the financial game.
It's a tough call, man.
Dude, what I'm saying is it's not black and white.
Right.
Right? You can't just yell at somebody and go, you're a cheater, like Barry Bonds. You're a cheater. You know what? Listen, I don't disagree. I think his records are probably BS. But dude.
The bad thing about him was he was awesome without him.
He was also a dick. Like, if he'd have been, like, super charming or something, everybody would have loved him, you know?
He was a douche.
Like, you don't hear people talking about Sammy Sosa that much. He was really awesome. You know what I mean? Broke some records and raced with Mark McGwire. They had the big thing. They were
also,
all juicy.
Also a dick.
Mark McGwire. Yeah, huge dick. But everybody loves Sammy, you know? So it's just interesting when you think about cheating. People's reaction is to just be angry, but you have to put yourself in those shoes, man. If I had a chance to be a pro athlete, I don't know that I could.
Well, this dude was a pro athlete.
No.
He was making better than average cash.
Sure. Probably. But if I had a chance to play in Major League Baseball, let me put it this way, Kevin. If me, Lyle Conkio, not pro athlete, if me had a chance to play in one Major League Baseball game and all I had to do was take steroids for 6 months or a year to do that, I would absolutely do it. I would absolutely do it.
Well, it's easy to sit here and go, morally, I would not be able to do it. But on the other hand, how could you not?
Dude, it's Major League Baseball. Like, it was my dream since I could think, you know? So if you said, hey, you inject yourself with stuff, you work hard, and in a year you can play in one game only, I would absolutely do it. There's no question I would. And I don't consider myself immoral. I don't consider myself a cheater. I, you know, abide by laws and, you know, pay my taxes. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't think that I'm the bad guy.
Historically, I would say that's incorrect. I think both of us have a story to tell. But
most laws.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that I wouldn't consider myself a bad person. And I don't think people who know me would consider myself, me, a bad person. But I would, without question, I would do it. And I think that's interesting. If I had a chance to throw the odds in my favor so that a team I was working on could go to the Super Bowl, what do I do? If I have that power, what do I do?
Yeah.
Interesting questions.
I don't blame the Brady and the equipment guy for doing the thing. I'm just amazed that in a, 15-year career,
yep,
nobody's noticed it before now.
Oh, people have. It just didn't get out.
You know, I think the thing about it is that, you know, Brady doesn't throw a whole lot of picks.
He doesn't.
You know? So maybe he likes...
The ball doesn't float a whole lot on him either. Just saying.
Maybe there's a reason. You know, but here's the thing. Maybe he likes him inflated to 11.5 pounds. And because of the cold and the fact that the balls had been...
That's also an issue.
Maybe they'd lost a pound and they were just more squishy than usual. Yep. Because Rich Eisen said on a show he had a ball inflated to 13 pounds and a ball inflated to 11 pounds. You couldn't really tell the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, just by, you know, unless you really squeezed it.
So he couldn't tell the difference. But I bet a guy who throws footballs for a living for the past 15 years and then also did it, you know.
In Michigan and
college,
and
Pop Warner and all. I bet he knows.
Yeah.
I bet he can tell.
So do I blame them? No. But the fact is, you know, they got caught. Just like with the video thing. Somebody turned them in and now it's a thing. So, you know, if they're going to fine Marshawn Lynch $50,000 for not talking to the media, they've got to do more with this.
Yeah. Well, they are. They released a statement today that they're continuing to investigate. They've hired an outside firm to do forensic analysis of electronic and video information. And, you know, they're going to try to get to the bottom of this. And we know that the NFL is really good at investigating themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So...
almost as good as the government.
It's ridiculous.
We're going to hire a special prosecutor. And
anyway, in other news, I thought this was really awesome. Marshawn Lynch says that he's embarrassed to work for the NFL.
Right. See, because his buddy, I can't remember the receiver's name, caught a touchdown pass and grabbed his crotch.
Yeah.
Just like Marshawn Lynch did, and they're both being fined for apparently. You know,
yeah.
Adjusting the fellas after a touchdown is illegal.
Still, to say you're embarrassed to work for them is kind of really stupid.
I think Marshawn hasn't been able to locate a give-a-damn for so many
years.
That's
true. That's true. And he's always kind of been like that. And it's one of the things that I admire about him, actually. People think he's a dick, and he might be. But I actually admire that about people in the limelight who don't try to kiss everyone's ass. They just kind of go, this is who I am. Look, this is who I am. You don't have to like me because I really don't like you. Because I can relate to that. I hate people. So I get it.
Well, and then Richard Sherman comes on and says they threaten to ban or bar my boy, being Marshawn, from playing in the game for wearing gold shoes. But Clay Matthews tries to tear off Russell Wilson's head, and he gets a $22,000 fine.
Right. They're right.
You know?
They're right. It's stupid.
Crazy. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it comes out, this whole Deflategate. And it's all over the world, dude. I was driving by a car wash, and their sign said, "We don't deflate." You know, so it's all over the place.
So good.
Yeah.
So one other thing I did want to talk about. And you probably have this in front of you, too. David Lee, the Jets quarterback coach who went to Buffalo with Rex Ryan.
The next sound you hear will be the bus.
Dude, he said Geno Smith, quote unquote, killed us.
Killed us.
Which also is refreshing because he's right. But you can't say that. But he's right.
Yeah.
So sad. So sad, man.
An incarcerated Cowboys fan is suing the NFL for $88 billion for the overturned catch of Dez Bryant's, almost catch at the end of the Packers game.
It's 88 because of
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant, yeah. Sure.
That's pretty funny.
I'm sure that'll get far.
Yeah, he's incarcerated, so, you know, they're going to pay a lot of attention to that. Not saying he doesn't have rights, but
also, he's got plenty of free time.
He does.
Well,
to file frivolous.
Time, anyway.
It's questionable whether it's free or not.
Awful. Yeah.
Tom Brady says, "Hey, this isn't ISIS. People aren't dying about Deflategate."
Oh, dude.
My wife put it.
Shut your mouth.
She put it succinctly. She's like, "I'm cheering for the Seahawks. I don't like Tom Brady. He kind of looks like an asshole."
Dude, I think. I hate the Seahawks. I really do. I admire them. But I just really don't like the culture and how they're like. I just don't.
Pete Carroll.
I never
looks
really
like
have.
He looks like a guy whose face you want to punch.
I've always been.
Where's that website?
Oh yeah.
Where
look it up.
Where is that?
It's in the mail. I've always kind of not liked them, and then they became good, and I tend to not like the best teams in the NFL that don't rhyme with Beagles. But I do admire, and I wish that. Like, you could bottle this stuff, but the energy that defense plays with, man, they're just, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a 50-yard gain or a 2-yard loss. They hit you with everything they got every time. There's people that are just ripping at the ball and, like, they just, like, are playing at 110% all the time. I mean, I really do admire that, but I am rooting for the Seahawks, too, because I just...
Because screw Tom Brady.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, Mike Mesko emailed and said, "I finally got around to listen to your last podcast, even though the games happened already. So you guys are talking about the German word meaning a face that needs to be punched, and he spells it here, which has got lots of consonants next to each other and stuff. He says, some translations say it's a face in need of a fist or a face in need of a slap. Either way, we can all think of douche nozzles who are the epitome of this word. And so here's the word.
Watch your headphones if you're wearing headphones right now. Yeah. I don't know how loud it's going to be.
Backpfeifengesicht.
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 Now, in a week from Monday, I have a meeting with somebody I work with who's from Germany.
Oh, yeah? You going to throw that at him?
Backpfeifengesicht.
Backpfeifengesicht.
Do I have a Backpfeifengesicht? She'll be like, bah!
That'd be awesome, man.
Yeah, she'll be like, what do you get that? So anyway, so that was kind of cool. So a face in need of a
punch. Thank you very much for giving us that.
There's another pronunciation. Here we go.
Backpfeifengesicht.
Backpfeifengesicht.
Yeah.
I think that was it.
For all we know, we're saying something completely untrue.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
Yeah, we're cursing.
Let's see what else is going on.
Not a whole lot, man.
Really? I mean, you know, why did we do a show, quite frankly? I'm not really sure.
I know why.
Yeah, I do too. one of the things that people are asking, I read an article the other day.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
And that's interesting.
People are asking me, and they ask you the same stuff. It's like, especially as before the season, who do you got as a sleeper?
Ooh, for next year?
Yeah, and you know, this article was basically saying, you know, 20 years ago, there were sleepers. You could have a sleeper.
Yeah.
In the age of information now, it's very, very difficult to have a real sleeper.
Well, I think sleepers are limited to second and third year players that will get a bump.
Maybe.
Free agents that we're not, you know, 100% hyped on. And rookies. That's what they are. And it's a huge guessing game.
Rookies, like third-round rookies.
Oh, yeah.
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 You know, like a guy who played, you know, with Southern Miss.
Yeah, it's not first and second rounder.
Right. So, I mean, because if a guy or a gal wants to find, or maybe guys gender non-specific. But anyway, if somebody wants to find information about a player, it's not hard to find. So, you know, saying that somebody's going to be a sleeper. Now, where sleepers kind of come in nowadays is on the waiver wire.
They do.
If you look at a guy like C.J. Anderson, mm-hmm. who came from nowhere to do what he did, mm-hmm. and there are some receivers who fall into that category as well.
A lot of receivers.
Dude from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Hurd.
Yeah.
Robinson, same thing.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, there's a lot of waiver wire things, but, you know, guys who actually come in out of nowhere early in the season, tough to do that nowadays.
It is. It is. You know, you can get some people that maybe had – some, like, I think that at this point you could sleep on Trent Richardson and somebody could go, I mean, it's a ballsy call. I'm not calling him a sleeper at all because I think he's terrible. But what I am saying is that he goes to a different team. You could go, I think people are sleeping on him. Maybe he's a sleeper. You know, you could say that.
I'll pick him up in the 15th round.
Right.
Why not?
Right. 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 Exactly.
Because he's going to be a guy who's going to be given maybe another chance.
See, and I think that he's still going to go in the third freaking round, man. I do.
And I love that. You know why?
Because I'm not picking him.
Because that means somebody's going to be picking him and not the guy I want.
Somebody drafted him in the second round this year.
I know.
In two of my leagues. So
unbelievable.
It's insanity.
Here's the thing. Don't draft a Colts running back. Can I say that right now?
There you go. Period. I mean, Boone Heron's okay.
No. Well.
He's okay.
Get him in the teens.
Yep. I mean, well, probably not teens, but you could probably get him at 7 or 8 or something.
But you know what? There's no guarantee right now that Boone Heron even plays for the Colts next
totally,
year.
Totally, totally.
You know what? Because Ahmad Bradshaw's coming back.
That's true.
You going to hang your hat on a 30-year-old?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Wouldn't be the first time I've hung my hat.
My favorite thing I've heard so far this year is the fact that Rex Ryan's going to play defense and do lots of running in Buffalo.
So great.
Freddie Jackson's like, yeah. It's like, Freddie, dude, you're 55 years old, dude.
At least not 55, but.
Well, 33.
I will say this. Fred Jackson has been a consistent, above average performer for me for a long time. And next year, if I can get him in the 7th round, I'm totally taking him.
Well, when you say above average, you mean he's above what you expect of him.
He is always a great option at flex. Always. And he has been for a long time.
I can't say you're wrong.
Yeah, he just has been. You're right. He's not a second. He's not a number two or a number one. He's not for a long time. I mean, he had a few years where he was pretty good, but he's a great flex. He catches a lot of passes. He's always on the field. C.J. Spiller sucks, cause so he gets the ball plenty. Yeah, dude, I love Freddie, but you know, Rex, that type of football doesn't exist in the NFL anymore, especially with... Now, listen, you get the next Jerome Bettis coming out of college? Sure. Show me. Let's do this.
You know who the next Jerome Bettis is?
Go.
Eddie Lacy.
Probably.
You know who the other Jerome Bettis is?
Go.
Dude from Patriots. The hell's his name? LeGarrette Blount.
Nah, Blount's not a Bettis. I'll give you Lacy, but no, Blount's not.
Well, he's the same. He's not as big as Jerome Bettis, but he runs really hard.
No running backs these days are as big as Jerome Bettis. No,
that's true. But you look at Marshawn Lynch, runs. He's not as big as Bettis, but he runs that same way.
He runs that kind of way, yeah. Runs people over and stuff.
And that's one
like
of the
that.
Things, you know, Patriots fans are saying about this last game with the footballs and stuff. It's like, Blount had 3 touchdowns. He could have been carrying a brick. It wouldn't have mattered.
Dude, I'm not disputing the game.
Yeah.
What I'm disputing is that you broke the rules. I don't care about the results of the game. You broke the rules. There was a rule. It was broken. You are guilty.
What you guys don't understand is I've known Lyle since he was like a 24-year-old, 22-year-old.
I was 23.
23-year-old young punk walking into the bank with a fade.
I had a fade.
He's a blonde-haired kid with a fade.
I did. I had a fade. I'm like, it was hot.
Like, dude, what are you rocking a fade for? He's like, that's just what I do, man.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
So, yeah, I've known Lyle since he was
your point?
A FTW kind of kid. Now he's like, you broke the rules. You must pay the price.
Oh, I would have said that back then, too.
Dude,
I would have. I was always logical. This isn't about, upholding the rules. Frankly, I think it's kind of stupid. That there's a 1 PSI window for the ball. It's so dumb. But
it's the Patriots, and screw them.
Basically, kind of. If it was the Eagles being accused of this... I think I would react the same way. I really do believe I would. I'd like to think that I would anyway.
Yeah, you'd like to.
Because I'm logical. Rule A, you did B, fine C.
I doubt they're going to take a draft choice away. I'm not sure what they're going to do.
I would like to see them lower the cap. I would. I think that sends a strong message to not F around.
Lower the cap by $10 million.
Yeah, for 5 years.
Ooh, man, you're brutal.
That's how you find a team. You cannot find them money. Unless you find them $1 billion, it doesn't matter.
That's true. Let's take a look at some other news real quick. Browns owner Jimmy Haslam, who's becoming quickly Jerry Jones, but without the wins and the rings, he says, we've got to get a quarterback in 2015. He's got Hoyer. He drafted Manziel. Now he's talking about got to get a quarterback for 2015.
Well, they're questioning Manziel's ethic, his lifestyle, off-the-field issues.
Yeah.
So... it's kind of sad, but, again, one of these great – I said this the other day, but last show or the show before that, but I think there's a major problem. There's a chasm between what makes a good college quarterback and what makes a good pro quarterback, and that's an issue. But it's not an issue for the NFL per se if they will stop chasing the big names. They can look through the people – that are on some of these other teams, smaller colleges or people that necessarily didn't have the greatest success, and find a pro quarterback. Because they still exist.
Yeah, they do.
But these big clubs are running these spread offenses and stuff that don't necessarily lend themselves to training someone to play against the best players. They're playing against – they're exploiting weaknesses in college defenses.
Which are multitudes.
Yeah, there's tons of them.
So basically you have 2 reads. You got first read, second read, run as
right.
a quarterback.
Yep.
That's it. So, you got a guy like Russell Wilson who, is obviously can run like the Dickens, if you will. But, his ability to read defense is just the smart plays I watch him make over and over mm-hmm. and over again.
Mm-hmm.
He's the next Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he might be.
He's the next Tom Brady. These guys who are just, brainiacs about the game. I think Russell Wilson's one of those guys.
I do, too. I really think he's ultra, ultra talented, and
you know
I think
who
he's
isn't?
Intelligent.
Kaepernick.
Yeah. No, he's not. Yeah. Totally agree. I'd be really shocked if he's a starting quarterback this year. I would be. He's bad, dude.
But he wasn't.
But
what
here's the thing. Andy Dalton made the freaking Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he was a 7th alternate. I think.
But that doesn't matter. He was terrible.
We tweeted out.
The Pro Bowl is irrelevant.
Tweeted out. I retweeted somebody's like, that pretty much tells you why the Pro Bowl now needs to stop being played. Andy Dalton's going to be playing in it.
It's ridiculous. It is. It's the stupidest thing ever. You know what? How about this? Forget about the Pro Bowl. it's useless. If but that guy...
You know why it's not going to be forgotten? Because the Pro Bowl has beaten in television numbers playoff games from every other sport.
Is that right?
Yeah. The Pro Bowl's number...
I almost never watch it.
Nor do I.
I watched it last year because they did the fantasy thing, and they're doing it again this year.
Right, but... They had Carter and Irvin do it.
Right.
So it's a little more interesting, but still, these guys aren't playing.
No.
But... That the more people watch that, and the number is bigger than the playoff games for the NBA, the NHL, and baseball.
Fair enough. Man, football's popular.
It is. King football.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's kind of sad, though.
Some people hate it.
It's so irrelevant. Anyway.
Should we talk about...
Well, that'll probably be next week. We'll talk about that, but... I do want to say this. I had an idea, Kevin, and I didn't spring it to you, but maybe we should maybe do it. There are a lot of online sites now where you can create a Super Bowl grid.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe we should do that and throw it out. $10 a square or something? You know? Some big paydays? $5 a square? $10 a square?
You run it. I'll play.
All right. Yeah. I'll set it up.
Cool.
Is anybody interested in that? Yeah. If you are, I'll put a thread up, and if we fill it up, we fill it up. If we don't, we don't.
Yeah, you can buy as many squares as you want.
Yeah.
It worked. Somebody walked around with a grid. I threw $10
They're
at
fun.
Them.
They are fun. And if we get $10 a square, I don't know, $200-$300 per whatever?
Yeah, per quarter.
Something. Yeah. That'd be decent. That'd be fun.
You make it $5 where people might be in.
It's $10. I know. Anyway, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. So, put the thread up and...
All right. I'll look into it. Cool.
Cool.
Anyway, go ahead.
So there you go. That's about it, man. I think
we don't have any questions in the
I guess we should do those. Jeez. we don't really. Thunderscore says out of the many head coach firings this year, which team made the biggest mistake, quote, mutually parting ways or just outright firing their head coach? Food for thought. 49ers at Harbaugh peeing someone's Cheerios. Broncos. Fox failed to win the Super Bowl twice with Peyton. Skeletor failed for 8 years in Indy. So I think he also says a flip side, who got the best replacement head coach so far. I think John Fox is both of them.
So I think it is, too. So
they made a huge mistake getting rid of him, and the Bears got the best deal coming in.
I don't know about that because Kubiak's pretty awesome.
He is, but you know what? With Fox in Chicago, he's got Vic Fangio to run the defense and Adam Gase now from the Broncos.
I know.
To run the offense.
To run the offense. It's going to be nice, but they don't have the personnel. Kubiak?
They don't this year.
Kubiak just won the lottery.
He did.
All right. I mean, seriously.
You know what? I think that John Elway, if Kubiak hadn't been available,
yeah,
John Fox would still be working in Denver.
You think it's a Kubiak thing?
I think it was a Kubiak thing.
So I think the organization will run much smoother. And I think that did Peyton Manning officially announce yet?
He's given indications that he's going to come back.
So I really think that dude won the lottery. And I think that... Out of all the people they could have got, Kubiak is perfect. I really do. And I think the Broncos will be as good as they were. I don't know that they'll win a Super Bowl, but I think they'll be as good.
I think a lot of it comes down to staff.
Yeah, sure. And not only that, it's player personnel, and they certainly are one of the most talented teams in the league.
And Kubiak and Elway go back to, they were drafted the same year, God's sake.
Yeah,
so.
They were players together. And then it was a player-coach relationship, and now apparently... You know.
They keep going back and forth. Who's in charge?
Yeah,
you got Elway was the starter, Kubiak the backup.
Right.
Then Kubiak becomes the quarterback's coach.
Right.
And there's Elway.
Yep.
Now he's his boss.
Interesting.
You know.
Isn't it?
Well, we really know Elway.
But they're
the boss.
Fast friends. They were fast friends.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah. He also includes a picture of SpongeBob. It's like a hot air balloon. And the sack is hanging down. Like SpongeBob's got a stubby little penis and a sack of people.
That is hilarious.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Sounds great. Mojo.
Mojo says, hey there, fellas. Thanks again for a wonderful season and witty banter. Since the questions forum tends to lag this late in the season, I've decided to post a few questions that are a little out of the box because I know you guys hate boxes. Yeah, we do.
All right.
How long after you met did someone get flashed by balls? I'm assuming Lyle started it. I would say that's accurate.
Did I start it?
Yeah.
So it wasn't until after I saw the movie Waiting.
Right. So it was after that because...
So I'm going to say it was post-MENA that I flashed ball.
It was, you know, it was definitely here, pre-show or post-show or whatever.
So I would say probably the first time I flashed ball was probably 6 or 7 years ago.
maybe a little longer because the years tend to go.
Maybe
but,
eight.
Yeah, I've seen much more of that than I want, and so have you. I mean, you know,
oh yeah, I could accurately describe your ass, and I have, in fact, but.
That show's never made it.
Fortunately, we didn't upload that show.
Yeah.
That was the drunken draft show that we decided with Brian here.
The look on poor Brian's face.
Yeah. By the way, we ball slashed him the first time he walked in.
And Drew, too.
Drew as well, yeah. We got them both.
By the way, Drew Seabass agreeing to next year be a backup fantasy football guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So Drew Seabass on deck, as it were.
That is great. That's great news.
For the Saturday.
Those of you who are not familiar with Drew, he is incredibly well-read on the subject, often contends and wins leagues, and he's been on the show many, many times before.
So. Yeah. So
long-time forum member.
Second question, what is your favorite all-time moment in football history? Easy for me.
Oh, it's
got to be the miracle in the Meadowlands, too.
Yeah, it's Deshaun Jackson. Although I will say, I do have, even though I wasn't alive, I do have a fondness for Concrete Charlie's hit on Frank Gifford. I do have a big fondness for that. I've watched it many times, and it has nearly brought me to tears.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. But I can say that the Deshaun Jackson thing brings me to tears nearly every time I watch it.
And
as long as I space it out, if I listen to the Merrill feed, it's just like,
yeah.
And Kevin and I were together that day in a restaurant bar nearby. It was a Buffalo Wild Wings
with Robbie. Jamie, my younger son Jamie,
left.
Got bored with the game because the Eagles were losing, and had his mother came to pick him up.
And there were so many Giant fans there.
Oh yeah,
so many, and they're cheering and they're blah blah. And then all of a sudden,
dude, I paid the check.
Yeah.
After that last touchdown, I was like, okay, we're going to check.
Yeah, but we hung for a little bit, and then things started to happen.
Right, so then the Brent Celek touchdown happened.
Yeah, we were like, oh, okay, all right. And then somebody, Vic's doing this and Vic's doing that. We started getting excited. And I swear to God, when Deshaun Jackson broke it, I turned to Kevin and went, F you. This did not just happen. And we're both jumping. You know, we're like,
we were schoolgirls. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
So it's not just a great moment because it was great in Eagles history, but I have a good like IRL story behind it too.
Yeah.
And I was with pretty much the only Eagles fan I really know. Yeah. Everybody else hates him.
Is that also your favorite all-time moment in sports history?
Yes, yeah. Probably. I can name some. I think that for me as a kid, Nolan Ryan's 5,000th strikeout was a big deal for me.
USA beating Russia.
Oh, that was huge. Yeah. Mark McGwire breaking Maris's record. I was watching it with my dad. It was a huge thing for him. It was a huge thing for me. But yeah, it's up there.
You know, and there's this, like you said, there's an IRL story about it, you know, because we're hanging at a bar and there's all
right.
thing, and the game was just so compelling.
Right.
For the last 8 minutes of it. If I was sitting on my couch, it would have been awesome, but not ass.
But not ass, right. Yeah. Right.
Westbrook returning the punt against the Giants.
That was a great one, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That to me.
Dude, I can tell you right now, Eagles-Dallas.
They stopped him again!
Late 90s. Emmitt Smith's stop was a great one. There was a game.
That was Merrill Reese imitation, by
the
way.
There was a game. I don't even remember the relevance now, but the Eagles were somehow beating Dallas, and Aikman's driving the field. He gets all the way down to 8, and with like a few seconds left in the game, he throws a pick, and Eric Allen, I think, or Troy Vincent, one of those guys, took it to the house. I think he pitched it to somebody else, and they took it to the house, and I was there with like 5 Dallas fans.
Oh, yeah.
And that was great, you know, because it was like, I mean, they won every Super Bowl in the 90s, so I had nothing to gloat about. But that day,
oh yeah,
I was a champion.
No, you were a douchebag. All right, so number 4, do you think O.J. did it?
No, I don't. I think it was Glenn Rogers. Watch Akimbo Jackson, this guy I know. Watch his motive log about it. It was Glenn Rogers.
I will put it this way. Had I been on the jury, I would have had a reasonable doubt.
You have to acquit him there, but here's the interesting thing, and I'll do this very, very quickly. He was a serial killer named Glenn Rogers who traveled the country. They called him the Casanova Killer. He actually was in Los Angeles at the time, knew Nicole Brown Simpson because he had been partying with her in the drug scene, did work at her house, and he has actually confessed to the crime. So, and he liked to kill women. So there. Look it up.
Doesn't it suck if OJ actually was innocent?
It super sucks, but here's the thing. I don't think he was 100% innocent. I think that if Glenn Rogers did do it, OJ knew about it or was you know, complicit or in some way. Glenn Rogers claimed that OJ told him to go steal this pair of earrings. And if he had to, quote unquote, kill her. None of that can be verified. So who
none
knows?
None of any of it can be verified.
Right. But this guy is alive today. Look it up. His name's Glenn Rogers.
Yeah. You know what I'm amazed about? Woody Harrelson's dad was allegedly in the plot to kill JFK, if there was one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a convicted murderer anyway.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But allegedly, he was. I mean, he has said that I was part of the thing.
Wow. Well, people say
but
things.
But you don't believe that there was a conspiracy?
I don't. I think Oswald shot him.
Yeah. I think he did.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that he was the only one who did.
Well, so here's the one thing that bothers me about JFK, and nobody ever talks about. It's executive order, blah, 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 blah. I can't remember what it is. But anyway, we had gone off the gold and silver standard, and JFK wanted to bring it back for the dollar. And there's some really compelling evidence that that would have damaged a lot of people's wallets. And that, to me, is much more compelling than any other reason somebody would kill somebody. People always kill for two reasons, passion or greed. Like, you know.
Premeditated tends to be greed.
Tends to be.
Yeah. Passion tends to be, you know, you walk in and there's your wife with some dude.
Well, you could argue that serial killers kill out of passion. It's an internal passion. It's a horrible, demented passion, but it's a passion, but they could premeditate that. So,
yeah,
but I hear what you're saying. So I forget the executive order, but anyway, JFK was going to do that. And, you know, so I think that that's possible, but at the same time, there's just too much evidence that Oswald actually shot him. And there's very little evidence that anything else happened. So actual evidence, there's a lot of theories, but yeah. Honestly, we'll never know. It's a cool interview with President Clinton. I don't know that, you know, this is true or not. Like, what would he say? But he said the day he took office, this is after he had left the presidency. But the day he took office, he asked two things. He said, one, I want to know if we've ever been visited by aliens. And two, I want to know who killed Jack Kennedy. And he said nobody could ever give him an answer other than what everybody else knows.
Right, because it's a need-to-know basis.
Probably, and the president doesn't need to know.
Plausible deniability is what it is.
I guess.
Yeah, no, we haven't been visited by aliens, Mr. President.
That's what he said. I thought that was cool because
elbow to the ribs.
If I was president, I would totally ask those questions my first day. You know, so I can relate to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to find the Book of Secrets.
Yeah, that's
right. From National Treasure. Because
yeah,
you know that exists.
Effing Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, dude. Why haven't they made a third one of those?
I don't know.
That would be
probably because they're bad.
Yeah, but they're fun.
They are fun.
Brace yourself, Lyle. DraftKings.com is delivering a haymaker to the world of fantasy sports.
Introducing Daily Fantasy MMA at DraftKings.com.
DraftKings is America's favorite daily sports site where you could win enormous cash prizes every time you play.
I've actually done this. It's easy. Just pick five fighters, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to serious cash.
Score points for significant strikes, advances, takedowns, reversals, and sweeps, and of course, knockdowns.
Gain bonus points based on which round your fighters end their bouts.
These are the biggest daily fantasy contests for mixed martial arts ever, and only DraftKings, of course.
Don't miss out. DraftKings.com awarded over $300 million last year. How much are you going
to
win?
Hurry to DraftKings.com and use promo code GUYS to play daily fantasy MMA for free this weekend during UFC 183.
You could win your slice of a $1 billion in prizes being awarded this year. Billion.
Enter GUYS to play for free now at DraftKings.com.
DraftKings.com.
That is DraftKings.com.
That's it, bitches.
Love those guys. Love those guys.
We love them.
I want to play some more.
Let's ride.
Do the face punch thing again.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Be fine.
Backpfeifengesicht.
Backpfeifengesicht.
Backpfeifengesicht. It's awesome.
Backpfeifengesicht.
It's awesome they have a word for that.
Yeah, isn't it?
You have a Backpfeifengesicht.
Backpfeifengesicht.
It's amazing.
A face in need of a fist.
In one word.
Yeah.
In one word. It's amazing.
I heard that. It's like, I got to learn German, man.
I know.
I'm in. I got to do it.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking about learning Polish, actually. Heritage.
That's
and
random.
there's somebody I know that speaks Polish. So I could actually be like speak to her. And then she could speak back to me and I could like, you know, practice my. I don't know anybody else who speaks a foreign language. She knows Polish.
It's kind of random.
It is, but, you know, what do I know?
All right, bitches, we're out. We're going to check you next week, probably Wednesday, if unless it snows or something. Liz Los will be back. We'll go over the picks that we did. I did well.
F you. It all comes down to the big game anyway.
It does.
The Pro Football Championship.
Yeah. The Super Bowl. All right, bitches.
Sorry, y'all.
Enjoy your weekend. Without football. Well, yeah. It's the Pro Bowl, but...
Without football.
Yeah, like you said, right?
Later.
Okay, see you.